God's word as the standard of truth. I was listening to a podcast just a few weeks ago, and it was stated on this podcast that the battle for truth and concerning our identity is perhaps one of the most pressing discussions and decisions that need to be settled in our day and age. Is where do we learn what truth is, and specifically, how does God's word tell us who we are? So we're going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start at verse 12, but our text begins in verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, that's found on page 1182, 2 Timothy 3 at verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And here's our text. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that's as far as reading in Scripture. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, we live in a world where the foundation is being eroded. We hear things like, what is truth? Or your truth is not my truth? Or there is no such thing as truth? The standards are constantly changing. There is no shared basic morality that exists. How are you and I supposed to live in a world where there is a constant change? There's no foundation. Our society is like a house built on the edge of a cliff, that its footings have been eroded away. It's perched on the edge of a precipice. It appears that very soon society as a whole will fall into the abyss, where everyone does what is right in their own eyes. In this context of relativity, we as God's people need to stand firm in this standard for abiding truth. So basically today we are going to answer the question, is the Bible trustworthy? Is the Bible true? Can you depend on what the Bible says? Should we believe everything that we read on its pages? Well, we live in a world today dominated by fake news and TikTok, and this has led to two responses. The first response is that people have become incredibly gullible. They believe everything that they see and hear. The second response is people have become incredibly cynical. They doubt everything. Well, how do we avoid becoming gullible or cynical? The answer is found in this. We must be firm. We must be steadfast. We must be firmly rooted in the foundation of God's word. It is here that we find unchanging truth. So today we consider this theme: Jesus Christ gives his word to his people so that we might have abiding truth. The Bible is truly our true north. It is our standard. It is a revelation from God, sacred scripture. In our first point then, we consider the authority of scripture. Children, what makes the Bible different from every other book? What sets the Bible apart from every other writing that you can have? Well, what sets the Bible apart is that it was written by God. We have a book written by God that has the authority of God. The Bible was inspired, we say, and thus it has the authority of the one who authored it. So I ask you this question: where do you look? Where should we look for truth? When I was young and I was going to do a research paper, I would go and look in the encyclopedias. My parents had bought a set from a traveling salesman. I'd go to the bedroom where they had them and open it up and look inside. And there was a standard of truth, even if it was dated. Today, if you have a question, you talk to your smartphone. Hey, Siri, what does this mean? How do I do this? How do I change my tire? How do I check my oil? How do I get from point A to point B? Or you look it up on Google. Now, these things may be helpful to give you a direction, a step-by-step directions on how to do something. But what if you ask Google this question? Who is Jesus? You will get over 1 billion answers in less than a second. 1 billion answers to this question, who is Jesus? Or you could say, hey Siri, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? You'll get various answers. Some of them will be right and others will be way off. How do you know? What should you believe? How can you weigh these various answers? Well, to avoid getting sucked into the dystopian quagmire, we have to have these answers. Our standard of truth must be higher than human authority. Why do we believe what the Bible says? Why do we go back to the fountain, back to the source? It's because all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, the all here, as Paul was writing, the all in view is, first of all, a reference to the entirety of the Old Testament. The Scriptures mean the writings, which is a shorthand word of referring to the books of the Bible. However, in addition to the Old Testament books, we find something interesting in 2 Peter 3, verse 16. In 2 Peter 3, verse 16, Peter is referring to the writings of Paul as the Scriptures as well. So already during that first generation of apostolic writings, Peter was referring to the writings of Paul as the Scriptures, as the writings. And again, Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, quoting from the book of Luke, saying that these words are also the Scriptures. So already in that first generation, you have this apostolic writings that are put on the same level as the Scriptures, as the Old Testament. So the church does not give the Bible authority. The church is simply acknowledging what is true. The church is receiving the Bible as authoritative. It is acknowledging the authority of God's word. These things are the writings of God. As we confess in our Belgic Confession, Article 3, we call these writings holy and divine scriptures. So our passage begins by saying that all scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is from God. And where the Scriptures speak, it speaks with the authority of God. Now, the word here used by Paul for God breathed is theopneustos. It's a combination of God breathing out or God spirited. It's God's breathing out, God's word, the Spirit coming out of God's mouth, if you will. The words from the lips of God himself, God breathed. And here we find the concept of verbal inspiration. Every word, indeed every letter in the Bible is the very letter, the very word that God intended it to be. Even as Jesus says in Matthew 5, not one of the least of these letters will fall to the ground unfulfilled. So verbal inspiration, as applied to the original text in the original language, the original writings in their Greek and Hebrew, were from God and hold the authority of God himself. This means that God's word is not only inspired, but it is also inerrant. Inerrant means that it doesn't have errors. It is true in everything that it says. You can read the Bible and you can have this confidence of knowing of what you read is true, is trustworthy. It is a reliable witness and it speaks to us with the authority of God. So let's put some rubber on these tires. If the Bible speaks to us concerning our creation, where do we come from? Our identity, who we are, is created in God's image. Our gender, you're a man or you're a woman, you're a boy or you're a girl. Your marriage, God created Adam and Eve to be together in one union. One man plus one woman. All of these answers come to us from God's word and have the authority of God and must be therefore submitted to. Our reading from 1 Peter 1 reinforces this. God used human means as he carries them, Peter says, he carries them, the Spirit carries them along so that what they wrote was what God wanted them to write. This is what we call organic inspiration. Perhaps you children memorize this. Who wrote the Bible? Chosen men inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's who wrote the Bible. Chosen men inspired by the Holy Spirit. God used human means, real human people, to record his word in such a way that every word is the word that he wanted it to be. Therefore, we are. Therefore, we must receive God's word as it is. Not the words of some men wrote hundreds or thousands of years ago, but as it is, the very word of God. That's 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. So at the end of the day, public opinion, as it continues to shift and change, does not determine truth. As John 17 puts it, your word is truth. So if you want truth, if you want to find what is true, you go back to God's word. Why do we need this? Why do we need to know this truth? Well, the context of our passage, if you still have your Bibles open, in 2 Timothy 3 puts it very clearly. Already back then, the first generation of believers were surrounded by deceptive deceivers. That's verse 13. People in that day and age, and I submit to you today as well, want to deceive you. They want to lead you astray. They want to turn you from the true straight path onto the crooked wide path. They're deceptive. And the second reason why you need to know this is because people are ignorant. That's verse 14. Human nature is ignorant. We need to learn what the truth is, so we know what to believe. That brings us to our second point then. It's how does Scripture function? What is the proper use of God's word? Our passage in 2 Timothy 3:16 continues, all Scripture is God-breathed and it is useful. The Bible is useful. It is profitable, some translations say. It is beneficial. In other words, children, using the Bible is for your good. It's beneficial. It builds you up, and therefore it is to be used. In order for the Bible to be useful, it has to be used. Right? You hide God's word in your heart. You read the Scriptures. If the Bible sits on your shelf collecting dust, it's not being very profitable. It's to be used in order to be useful. Reading and obeying the Scriptures can only bring you lasting good. Our text then reveals four different areas or four different ways in which the Bible is useful or benefits us. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, our passage says. Useful for teaching. The Bible is the source, the fountain of knowledge. teaching us doctrine and giving us instruction. There is a content to God's word that is to be taken, ingested, and brought into your inner being. In these pages of scriptures, you will find answers to the most pressing questions that mankind has struggled. Who are we? Where have we come from? And where are we going? What is the point of life? God's word tells you what the point of life is. You were created by God for his glory. You have a very specific beginning, made in the image of God, and you have a very specific end, either eternity in hell or eternity in glory. So the scriptures are designed to teach us, telling us what we must know and what we must believe. But second, the Bible reproves us. A reproof is a test. It's a conviction based on evidence. Not only is the Bible something that we have to believe concerning content, it is something that must be convicted as real and true. There are a lot of people that know facts about the Bible, but have they submitted to it? That I know these things, and I know these things are true. That these things really happened. I have a defense for my faith, a firm conviction. Thirdly, we find that the scriptures not only instruct, give us teaching, not only do they reprove, but they correct. The scriptures correct us. When we stray into sin, God's word calls us back, changes our direction. It restores, it rebukes, it corrects. The Bible exposes our sins. It shows us how far we have gone and how far we have fallen. As Paul would say in Romans 7, I would not know what it means to covet unless God's word says, you shall not covet. The Bible is a magnifying glass. It is a flashlight that shines in the innermost recesses of our heart, showing us, reminding us, teaching us, you are a sinner that needs to be saved. The fourth section is that of training. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for training, training us in righteousness. Here the Bible takes on the role of a tutor, a teacher of small children. The Bible is cultivating us so that we increase in virtue and holiness. When you put all four of these together, we find a path set before us. We find the way of knowing our sin, knowing how we might be saved, and how we are to live a life of obedience. This is what the Bible does, and the Bible alone can do this. It can make us wise, our passage says. Reading again, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that you might be wise. Wisdom comes from God's word. I was back in 3 verse 15. To make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Note that Paul says we have wisdom here. God's word leads us, brings us, teaches us, enables us to have true wisdom. True wisdom. The disciples were asked in John 6, will you leave me as well? And they rightly responded, where else can we go? You have the words of life. Or Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path. True wisdom begins in our submission to God's word, our trust in Jesus, our believing in his word, and our obedience to his commandments. The scriptures are from God and are used by God with great power to change, to direct, and to give us the path in which we are to walk. In keeping them, there is great reward. So the scriptures enable us to believe what is proper and to act in a way that is proper. That's orthodoxy and orthopraxy, believing what is true and acting rightly. That is the way in which God's word is to function in our lives. And then finally, our third point. Now that we've considered the four ways in which sacred scripture functions, what is the goal? What is God doing in us with these words? As verse 17 then continues, that the man of God may be competent. Competent. Reading God's word, taking it in, submitting to it, leads to a competency. Now, the word competent here simply means being whole, being complete, and being useful. Useful in this world, beneficial to those around us. A competent man knows his right hand from his left. We would say there's a significant difference between book smarts and street smarts. Right? A lot of people know a lot of things, but a competent person knows how to live and act in this world, how to speak when the days are evil and the time is short. Biblical competency is not just being able to win at Bible trivia. Biblical competency means being able to apply the Bible in concrete and appropriate ways. This kind of competency cannot be found in the universities of today. In other words, there are a whole host of people with advanced degrees and are very foolish. There are many who have their master's or their doctorate but are still living a life of vanity. You don't need to go to college. Now, maybe you are. I'm not looking down on going to college. That's wonderful if that's what God calls you to do. But you don't need to go to college to have biblical competency. Right, you'll remember a Christian in Pilgrim's Progress in the city of Vanity Fair, where there is great high learning and also great temptation. What takes place in the world is foolishness. Being competent means that you can see through the glamour and the glitz of this world and to see the truth of the matter. Competency means that the Bible directs you and guides you to live rightly. Added to competency is being equipped. Our passage continues, being equipped, the man of God fully equipped for every good work. The Bible gives us the tools. Training gives us what we need, weapons for the right hand and for the left. We are fit. We are enabled to accomplish the task of living a way that is pleasing to God and beneficial to others. As you will remember, what defines good works? Good works are those that come from a heart of faith in submission to God's word and done for God's glory and for the good of others. It is this submission to God's word that sets our works apart from the works of the world. The word guides us, it guards us, it's our compass, it gives us direction. Ephesians 5 puts it this way, so that we can discern what kind of life is pleasing to God. The scriptures here equip us for every good work. Here we again see the sufficiency of Scripture. All that we need to know for our salvation, all that we need to know to live a life that is pleasing to God and for the good of our neighbor is here found. The God-inspired Word tells us how to lead a life that is fearing of God and pleasing to Him as well. As we close, the Bible gives us His Word for a good reason. It guides us, it corrects us, it trains us, and it prepares us for action. The Bible gives us a defense so that when the world is attacking us and people are trying to deceive us, we know what the truth is and we could stand fast and stand firm. Children, how did Jesus resist the temptation of the devil? Do you remember what he did? He quoted the scriptures. If Jesus used the word of God to be his defense from the temptation of the devil, how much more do you and I need God's word so that we can be defended? from the attack of the devil. Solomon spoke of great wisdom. Wisdom that enabled us to speak properly and to act properly. Our words used for building others up. Even as Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on the very word of God that he speaks to us. That is why the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture is so pressing. It's always important, but particularly today, in a culture that undermines and questions all truth. So I ask you, do feelings determine truth? Do how you feel change what is right and what is wrong? Or is it God's word that tells us what is right and what is wrong? It is never safe to follow your own heart. Because as Jeremiah says, the heart is incredibly deceitful and dark. That is why everything must be submitted to and inspected by God's word, making the Bible our rule and our standard. So as we go out into this world that has no understanding and no place for truth, may we all follow God's word, knowing that in keeping his word, there is great reward. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this reminder of the authority that your word has, because it is your word to us and it comes to us from your mouth. We thank you that Jesus is your word and that the scripture is the work of the Spirit as you worked through chosen men long ago. May we, in our doubt and temptation, submit to your word, look to the scriptures for abiding truth. May we be competent. May we be equipped. May we stand fast and stand firm in the solid rock of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.